everyone. Jocelyn Ulrich is my name, and EMD Serono is the U.S. and Canadian biopharma business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany. Not to be confused with Merck & Co., Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany is actually the world's oldest pharmaceutical company. We've been in existence for 350 years and are still 70% family-owned. So that has a lot to do with why we are involved in this public-private partnership, and I'll explain more about that as we move on. So today I would like to just introduce everyone to a public-private initiative called Healthy Women, Healthy Economies. There is a pillar within that partnership that is based on sexual and reproductive health and based a lot on the literature and the data that has already been spoken about this morning. And then briefly, I'll discuss why EMD Serono and Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany are committed to this initiative and what we are hoping to drive and implement as a private sector company. Okay. So I think as everyone has already gone over, the economic case for investing in women's health is quite clear. Sustainable economic growth really can't be achieved if we're leaving half the population behind. And we know that there are significant barriers to women's health across many areas that are preventing them from fully participating in their economies. Everything from non-communicable diseases to the dual burden of work, women who are managing caregiving responsibilities for both children and elderly parents while also trying to manage work-life integration and other diseases that are impacting women disproportionately around the world. So Healthy Women, Healthy Economies is a global initiative that unleashes the, or aims to unleash the economic power of women by bringing governments, private sector, and other civil sector actors together in an effort to improve women's health and by extension their families so they can join, thrive, and rise, bringing prosperity home to their families and communities. So this partnership was established in 2014 within APEC. Those economies came together at that time. Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany is the founding private sector partner, but this work was initially led by the U.S. government as well as the government of Philippines and other APEC economies. That gathering, after a literature review and a kind of identification of the key areas in which health barriers were preventing women's economic prosperity, led to a comprehensive literature review and a policy toolkit. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the findings from those efforts. And then since 2015, we've been holding implementation workshops to track progress against those policy goals, where different economies have highlighted the implementation and the aspects of the policy toolkit that they have taken up. They're very much in line with the SDG goals, so there's been clear links that some of the economies have been able to speak to. The unique opportunity within APEC is that it does have the opportunity to bring parts of the governments who are actively making decisions around investment, like ministers of finance, ministers of health, with private sector to have discussions about investment in healthcare and investment in family planning and other things. So when that working group, the expert group, came together in 2004 in Beijing, there was the APEC Human Resource Development Working Group, the Policy Partnership on Women and the Economy, and there was a robust discussion about what are the five broad areas that are really impacting women's ability to participate more fully. And these were the five areas that they identified: workplace health and safety, health access and awareness, which covers a lot of the screening and treatment programs around NCDs and also communicable diseases, reproductive and sexual health, gender violence and sexual harassment, and policies around work-life balance and integration. So I'll provide a little bit of the literature review that exists in the documents on the APEC Healthy Women, Healthy Economies website. As I said, there was this comprehensive exercise to look at the literature at the time. This was released in 2015, so data has been, of course, updated, but here are some of the examples that have already been highlighted by other speakers. Just discussing the impact on women's prosperity when they have access to adequate reproductive and sexual health support services in different economies. And within the spirit of APEC, they looked at both more developed and lesser developed economies to see some comparison around how much intervention could make a difference. We see both the U.S. story about higher income achievement in women who are able to delay childbearing versus in Chile having babies young and the implications for them on their ability to complete school and then all of the other secondary effects that have already been spoken about. From a policy recommendation perspective, in the policy toolkit, this is a summary of the recommendations under the sexual and reproductive health section of the toolkit. There were four broad areas that were recommended by the expert panel. First, improving access to sexual and reproductive health services, both from workplace policies to support women, developing policies to increase access for the vulnerably employed, those who are part-time or otherwise employed, and reducing financial barriers to accessing those services. And within the policy toolkit, I'll provide the links in this presentation for you to go on the website and see. It also makes a recommendation for whether these are actions that could be taken by private sector, governments, or both. So you can see that workplace policies are something that private sector would be taking on versus some of the other broader policies that are more government related. Second, increasing awareness of services for voluntary family planning with recommendations to develop comprehensive programs, develop broad-based education, expanding programs to non-traditional settings, and educating beneficiaries about available health services and their insurance programs. Third, providing high-quality maternal, sexual, and reproductive services broadly, including strengthening healthcare worker training, accreditation and licensing for healthcare workers, standards and client satisfaction tools so that economies can get feedback from how well these programs are working for the communities in which we are introducing these programs. And then fourth, protecting against discrimination. So assessing the policy environments that protect women from discrimination and developing policies and trainings that support non-discrimination. So I mentioned on the APEC website, there are a suite of tools and resources, as well as a page with on the Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany webpage, which talks about our more specific commitment. But there you'll see the toolkit and the literature review. Also, a monitoring and evaluation framework was developed in partnership with US government and others. Economic and business cases to help make the case for policymakers in particular on investing in these programs. And then coming out of every implementation workshop are the outcome reports and case studies demonstrating economies' contributions and progress against the toolkit objectives. So a little bit more about why Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany founded this initiative with APEC governments and what we are doing. As I mentioned, it's a 350-year-old company where we feel that the importance of family is firmly rooted within that history. Family-owned company, very long-standing. And this is part of our ongoing commitment to focus on caring for patients and their families. We also are a provider of solutions for diseases that disproportionately impact women, including thyroid, MS, and we also are a leading fertility provider. So we believe in investing in initiatives to improve major aspects of women and health, from increasing access to education and government programs. We also believe that part of our commitment within the Healthy Women, Healthy Economies is to help drive awareness of this public-private partnership and the policy recommendations. And so that's part of the benefit of being here today to talk to all of you is we want to make sure that people are aware that these resources are available. And so we have, as a company, have really adopted this core mission and are expanding upon it by putting our commitment through three primary areas. We're supporting research to help quantify this link between women's health and economic prosperity. We've been working with some leading academic researchers, as well as establishing a Center for Social Science Research with the March of Dimes and others. and forming meaningful collaborations to advocate for change, including with the Wilson Center. And then living the mission by bringing this to our own employees. We've been committed to looking at workplace parity. We have a Women in Leadership Task Force that's looking at workplace policies, work-life integration, supporting people within our company that are caregivers, providing resources, et cetera. So we're making sure that we can walk the talk internally as well as talking about this externally. Three policy areas that we are focused on. Given our deep experience in non-communicable diseases, health access and awareness is a key pillar, and mainly around thyroid, MS, and others, as I mentioned. Work-life integration, extremely important. We really believe that there are severe detriments to women's health, especially in developed markets, trying to balance workplace responsibilities and caregiving responsibilities, and this is a major driver of stress and negative health outcomes for women. And that we really are all responsible for equitable workplaces. So implementation to date, we have brought the toolkit to other fora outside of APEC. We have launched some reports quantifying the socioeconomic impact of diseases such as oncology and MS with other partners. We have highlighted this at Women Deliver coming up next year in Canada and formerly in Denmark. We have worked with women political leaders to put this on their annual global forum agenda. And we'll continue to establish public-private partnerships around diseases that are disproportionately impacting women, such as thyroid in the Philippines. That is it.
Great. Thank you, Jocelyn.